It was hard for me to be quiet during that. I wanted to say something so bad during the... I don't want to fuck on our sponsors that yet. Yet.
We back.
Talk about the Dallas Cowboys. We back. What is going on? I can't see shit. I can't see anything on the TV. I can't see you guys. I feel like I'm in a, I feel like I'm out of office, but I'm not out of office.
That was a stressful setup period, so.
It was, but hey, crack them if you got them.
Yeah, but Ant, you're a Stevie Wonder blind.
I know I am. I kind of am. I'm just like looking around. I don't have anything. I'm just like in a room. I just have you guys' voices in my head and I don't like it.
Oh, right, because you never see me when we're podcasting.
No, I usually have Alex's head booping and bopping around, though, and looking like a vape fucking 12.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so for those of you who are just tuning in, Bandwagon Boy number 2 got off the rails on Sunday.
He was feeling good after that big overtime win, to say the least.
It was that extra quarter of play. I didn't plan for that, and so...
It was those shotguns. It was the shotguns.
It was the shotguns.
It had to be the shotguns. But I mean, I don't know how we could have done that without the shotguns.
Okay, let's pimp ourselves out a little bit. If you're looking to listen to us on anything, you can, what is it? Spotify, Apple iTunes, it's Cowboys Can Fan Podcast. Our Instagram, TikTok, Twitter are all at Cowboys Can Fan. And then the YouTube, AJ, is...
It's actually Cowboys Can Fan Podcast. So either search for Cowboys Can Fan or go to youtube.com/Cowboys Can Fan Podcast. All other social media, just Cowboys Can Fan.
Whammy. That is how it's done. It's easy. We're getting to the point that you just Google Cowboys Can Fan and something, one of our stupid faces pops up. So it's we're starting to build it up a little bit. But so we're in the bye week. This is a weird time as a Cowboys fan. I always hate the bye week. This bye week's a little bit better because we're in such good position right now. We're 5-1. We're ahead of the NFC East. We're coming off a big overtime win against Bill Belichick. Cowboys first time ever beating Bill Belichick. I'm feeling happy about the bye week. Sad that we're not going to have any Cowboys football this weekend though.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. It's we were both waiting there. Like, one, it's when you're getting all hyped up in those first early weeks of like drafting your fantasy football team, you start picking up the players that you want to root for. Naturally, as a bandwagon boy, I'm going to pick up a lot of Cowboys. And I realized this week that I have a lot of people that are on my... I don't have a deep roster on my bench. And so when my Cowboys are sitting... Daddy is going to have a tough time this week.
It's funny you say that in the league that we're all in together. I have Prescott, Gallup, Micah Parsons. I think those are the only three Cowboys I have. But yeah, they're all on bye weeks. It's weird too with fantasy football. You kind of forget about the bye weeks and they just start, you know, in one of the leagues I'm in, and one of the guys has 9 people on a bye this week. 9 fucking... Jeez. I've never seen anything like that in fantasy football. Basically his whole roster.
You just forfeit the week. I think this season, I could be incorrect, but we don't play like that. I'm going full hearted that this is truth. They added the extra week, but the bye weeks, I believe, shifted or condensed or something like that. So there's more teams off per week.
You're right. Yeah. They started it later. Like they started usually the bye week, I think, started during week 3. Or week 4? I think this is this the first bye week? Or was last week the first bye week? I don't even know. There was teams on bye week last week. But last year, week 4 started the bye week. And I don't think they go as late this year. So you're right. Mm-hmm. You're going to be more in fantasy football. You will be affected more. As far as like the Cowboys, I'm kind of glad that they have the bye week early. I'm glad they're kind of getting it out of the way right away. Because I hate when they have a late one. I don't like it when I want them going into playoffs with, you know, 6 wins in a row or something. I don't want them to have a bye week late in the season.
Yeah, let's just hold up for a second here, Anth, before you go into the next thing that you're going to go into. Let's see those little toes. What do you got on here?
Some fucking cowboy socks, baby. Tay-Tay brought me back some. She was gone on the weekend, and she brought me back some Cowboy Nation socks. Keep my feet extra warm.
Are they warm? They look thick.
Yeah, no, they're good. They're definitely good, and they're actually high socks. but I'm wearing pants. So when I'm rocking my shorts, my lucky shorts next week, because they haven't worn since I wore my shit colored shorts, I'll be rocking these socks. You know it.
Are you going to wear them in Dallas when we go?
I don't know. It depends how hot it's going to be when we're down there. Might be a sandals thing.
It was when you sent them to us, it was weird though, because you just sent us a picture of you just wearing the socks in a full in a full mirror. So I was like, okay, well, those are nice socks, but
why
are you naked?
Am I supposed to be looking at your wiener right now?
Yeah, I didn't realize I had the full shot. Forgot to crop it.
But before we move on, just on why I'm not in office, after last week's episode, I decided to take a sabbatical?
Yep.
I don't know. But I went to a rehab, and so that's why I'm there's no drinking tonight.
Whoa.
Are you not drinking tonight?
No, I'm not drinking.
Oh, wow. Oh,
crack him if you got him.
You took me for a fucking rodeo. That was like the Cowboys game last week. You took me on a roller coaster.
The funny
there.
Thing is because the way we have it set up is Ant can't see Alex at all.
Can't see shit.
So we have this janky setup going down, and Ant can't see him. So he didn't see Alex sneaking in that little drain.
I did not see it.
Hey, but don't pull the curtain back, all right? The people don't need to be exposed to our rat's nest behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah, no.
So what do we got going on here? I know we got the QB, or what are you jumping into first here? You're going to go Cowboys analytics or what?
I think let's just jump into this, because this kind of recaps last week, but it's on the bye, and it's a whole year recap. So we kind of went through this type of article maybe a week or two ago as well. Where we learned about the DVOA and the difference between DVDA.
Which I don't know. I still don't know what it is.
It's an analytic either. That's legit.
Yeah, basically a bunch of geeks and nerds with gel in their hair, crunch numbers.
And pocket protectors.
But you know what? They do share? They share that Bill Belichick table.
Right. Of course they will.
Need to look at the numbers. So anyways, this is kind of cool because it shows us previous week and then where they rank this week. And we see right away that they did drop. Long story short, a lot of analysts are saying that probably is the worst performance of their defense to date. However, still a lot of promise came out of how they pulled off the win.
See, I don't even think their defense was that I don't think it was that bad. They the offense was giving the Patriots extra attacks on their offense. So I mean, our defense was for the first half was out there way more than they should have been. And I guess as far as how our defense has been playing, the turnovers we've been getting, it wasn't their best performance, but I still don't think it was bad. They got a blocked punt. They got the Trevon Diggs interception. And, man, when Diggs had that interception and he had the convoy taking him to the end zone, like, sure, they let 20, what, they got scored on 29 points. I don't think it was that bad of a defensive showing, to be honest.
I agree. I think that the offense had bigger issues on the night than
the offense couldn't get. They had how many times? They couldn't get one fucking yard.
Four missed opportunities
on the one goal line. Then they also had they got stopped on their own 30. I think the offense gave the Patriots too many chances, and your defenses can only stay trim for so long if they're on the field as much as they were in the first half.
Well, so when we look at just the efficiency, this is an efficiency rank. So like it's probably digs deeper than what the eye can see. And certainly one play can really turn this on its head. For example, special teams, a missed kick or something like that can really like
Greg the leg. Cripple. We're looking at you.
I dropped that. Exactly. I dropped him. Guess what?
And you had to
dropped him.
So where I think the, this analyst comes from, this analysis comes from is looking there could be two large plays. For example, I don't know, but there could be two, a turnover on offense can really affect this because it
like
it
when has... you fumble it into the fucking end zone.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Or you miss a fucking field goal from the 40. Two plays exactly that happen in that fucking game. You know what I mean?
I think it was only what I mean to say is I think there was only a few draw. I think it was the first quarter basically that really calculated against them, and then after that they started to play better and better.
The Pats defense, the Pats offense in the first quarter looked like they were going to be unstoppable. They just went through our defense like they were playing against a high school team. From the 30-yard line, they went down and scored, and then on their second drive, they just ran at will, threw at will, and scored. Well, but luckily, we tightened it up.
Well, and I think obviously, if we know, well, we none of us know Bill Belichick, but I think the Patriots are very well aware of the Dakota Prescott 28-0 winning streak when they run, and I think they definitely did do a very good job shutting down the running game, and that's where Dak had to switch gears, and or Kellen Moore or Dallas in general switched, and we were still able to pull off a win where we passed more. And I don't know if you could bring the stats up, but I mean we passed more in this game than we ran, and that's just because the Patriots,
the Patriots
were prepared for splash and dash.
Yeah, gash and mash.
Smash and gash.
here's what I think.
445 yards, damn.
Yeah, I think what everyone still maybe it's because Tom Brady was having such a great season, and the Patriots are kind of just now a struggling rebuilding team, that there's maybe a little bit of an underestimation on Bill Belichick's ability to plan for a team. And one thing I read, there might be one of these articles coming up, but hey, let's just right now, is that he planned against the specific style of rushing that we were doing, which is just hard down the nose. And he built a game plan to stifle that pass rush or that, just that offense or the defensive rush. And so they're like saying, hey, is this a blueprint to beat the Cowboys now? Or can Dan Quinn, Lieutenant Dan, fix that?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be anything to do with... you mean the Patriots running up? Because yes, Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore.
Our defensive pass or run rush, our front line and how Dan Quinn has orchestrated that to this point, Belichick planned against it. It worked. I don't know the exact name, and we can bump into it, but basically, it's just scheming. He schemed us.
But, I mean, people forget, the Patriots might not be that great this year. Bill Belichick is going down as one of the greatest coaches to ever play, or to ever coach, right? So he's going to be able to put his team in the game no matter what, and they were in Foxborough. So this is a game the Cowboys of past lose, 100%. This is a game... I've seen it so many times. There's a team that they should have on the ropes with a rookie quarterback. The rookie quarterback comes out and looks like fucking Joe Montana and beats us, and we're close and we're in the game, and we end up losing at the end of the game. Seen it a million times. So to see us actually fight through a little bit of adversity and still come out with the win in overtime, I don't give a fuck what the score is as long as we win the game. It's the NFL. Any given Sunday, right? You could have a game.
Yep.
Like there's no easy win in the NFL.
No, and I think for sure, because of all of the issues we had, definitely shows just how, there he goes. You can't see it. He's starting to vape.
Uh-oh.
At least he won't fall asleep this time. I think Dak definitely, showed the fact that he is, one of the most elite quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, that's a good segue, because we've been kind of sticking with every week. We've been looking at the QB index. The NFL does an update on NFL.com, and each week they do every QB one to 32, and they rank them. And last week, I think Dak was number four. He was ranked fourth, Amazon, I believe, or third. Yes, sorry, Dak was ranked third last week, going into week six. And we have the updated ranking. And I did see the title. They gave it away in the title.
Yeah. I know. Don't do that, guys.
Right? We want excitement. We want a Christmas Day surprise.
But Adam, did you see the title?
No. I was too busy working on some technical stuff.
Then, excellent. Me and Anth already know. Where do you think Dak ranks week seven?
I think Dak is number two.
Well, you wrong, bitch.
Number one?
I guess we'll have to scroll down.
Number one?
I guess we'll have to scroll down.
Hang on.
Shit, there's your boy.
There he is.
Six six games, 73.1% passing, 1,800 yards, 8.4 yards per average, 16 pass touchdowns, 4 interception, 70 rushing yards, and 6 fumbles. So the fumbles still, it's like one a game. He's getting one a game, basically, giving up a fumble a game.
The fumbles are not good. That's the biggest difference. But I think the largest jump here, obviously, was his passing yards, and he kept that same high yards per average. I think he was like either number one or number two out of the guys that we looked at in the top five there. So,
well, let's just compare. Let's just compare to him and Brady just by looking at their numbers right here. I still probably think Brady should be one, to be honest. Just like quickly looking at their numbers. 2,000 passing yards, 17 pass touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and only 2 fumbles. So he's given up the ball. He's given up the ball. What is that? Five times less, including interceptions and fumbles. Has more passing touchdowns. And I'm not rooting for Brady here. I'm just saying, at a quick glance, you might say to me, you would think Brady's numbers are better. Would you not?
Yeah, but
I think if you look at it, the biggest thing that I think factors into how they rank is the PCT rating.
That's just your percent. I mean, over 100 passes. That means,
but look at everything else.
Over 100 passes
and the YPA is like those are the only two things that he's doing better than Brady, and that's why he's been moved.
What I'd like to see personally, I think a big one would be third down percentage. That would be big to me. But I don't think over 100 passes, completing 5 more passes, is really that big of a deal. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what our DVDA stat kind of adds in, right? There is no rhyme or reason behind it.
Well, they say here, but Dak hitting 7 passes with 2 big time throws on 13 attempts against pressure. So they are taking other things into account that aren't in just that stat line that they have at the header. So they do,
that is true.
They do have some stuff that they take into account, obviously, that they don't put in the header.
Which I like. I think because there can be so much that the stats don't tell you. For example, like we see all the time, quarterbacks getting, say, 4,000 plus yards and 25 plus touchdowns on dog shit teams because they're always just fucking huck them.
Can you scroll down? I want to read Brady's little paragraph there. So for Brady, they say, these Buccaneers remind me of the old Peyton Manning Colts because they aren't trying to fool anyone. Defenses know what's coming from Brady because Tampa runs the same concepts week after week. The Bucs just run them so well that no one can stop them. In games like the Thursday night win over the Eagles, fuck the Eagles, when it gets close late in the fourth quarter, Brady appears to choose from a wide menu of ways he can break on. Get off his knob. Fuck off, NFL.com. He deserves to be too. My boy Dak. Numero uno, fucking right.
Question on the Dak, if on the question, that's on the question. It says Rain Dakota Prescott. I thought it was Dakota Rain Prescott.
Yeah, I know you did. So you were wrong. So maybe they have a typo. I think his first name is Rain, and Dakota is his middle name.
I'll always say Dakota Rain.
I think we're always going Dakota Rain.
Oh, Ant's already checking that he wants to leave.
I'm not checking. I want to leave. I was here to film this 2 hours ago, so just seeing what girlfriend said.
Listen, guys, guess keep what? Keep the curtain closed. Keep the curtain closed.
No one wants inside baseball. We want inside football.
Inside football, hey, baby.
So we all love Dak. We're all slobbering on his knob. But what about the entire Dallas Cowboys team? This is kind of a cool chart. Again, let's not really get too into what these actual things mean.
To me, it's just every team's fucking logo on, and they just took it and just threw it on a whiteboard. So I don't know how to take this as anything.
They shot the NFL teams out of a shotgun.
Yeah, they just put them all balled up in a fucking 12 gauge and shot it at a wall. I don't know what that means.
I can tell you what it is. Yeah, I can tell you. Okay. I don't know what they're rating in the quadrants, but this type of chart, when you look at it, generally you'll see where people tend to go towards. So you'll have 4 different areas, and if it's this is what I don't get. There's only one line
here. This is how it works. Someone who is in the far left
sucks, obviously. The only telling thing for me is you got the Jets and then the Bucks on opposite sides. That's the most telling thing to me. You got the Jets on the far left and the Bucks on the very far right. So left bad, obviously.
So audio listeners, there's a chart. It's got defensive EPA play on the left, on the horizontal axis, and offensive EPA play on the bottom. So the farther to the left you are, the worse your offense is, and the lower that you are, the worse your defensive is.
Oh, gotcha.
So we see these kind of lines that are separating everyone. You can see the cluster in the middle. Yeah, that makes sense. That's where a bunch of teams are. For example, KC, really good offense, dog shit defense.
And then Buffalo.
So that's why they're like
Buffalo has a good defense.
Yeah,
Buffalo,
but
good defense, good offense.
It doesn't. It's just not it's just not their logo jumping over everybody.
Yeah, but what? But what? Usually you would have, again, four areas that you're charting towards I don't get why they have it separated into quadrants.
I am not a chart learner, obviously, because this just looks like fucking mumbo jumbo to me. not a chart learner.
Off this because it's failing as a talkable thing. well, all we're trying to look here is look at it slanted with the top right being your top number one spot and the bottom left being your fucking dog.
Okay, so first we're going to get a crosshair on here. Then we're going to put some diagonal lines. Then we're going to put a chart on top of that. Then we're going to throw all the logos at it.
It's like what they say if you're ever in a meeting and you have a whiteboard and you're trying to make a point and you don't know where to go, you start to draw like a Venn diagram.
Oh yeah, just do a diagram.
Diagram on the screen.
I can't wait to do one of these diagrams.
The
diagonals and fucking crosshair. Let's do it.
Actually, this should be this that thing should be our next shirt.
Yeah, just that. Just how that is.
So, and instead of it saying week 6 NFL tiers, it says, what the fuck is this?
What the hell am I looking at?
Yeah, the only important thing to look here is that the Cowboys
are far away from the Jets.
They're far away from the Jets. They're in the top 5 because they have a very strong offense and a good defense.
Yeah, so you want to be as far to the right, and as close to the middle.
Well, look at where right? where Tampa is. They're saying to us Tampa is the best team.
No, I get it. It's just fun to take the piss out of it.
The actual best team, if you look at it, is the Bills and the Cardinals, because although they don't have the strongest offense, they have a combination of the strongest offenses and strongest defense.
Oh, then I'm taking this the wrong way.
I'm taking this the wrong way. Can you show me some of the comments? I just want to see if anybody else is commenting on this like us.
Comments. Oh, so right now we're on the, Twitter can, looking
move,
at
move the comments
week 6
over,
NFL
Alex,
tiers.
We can't see them. Or I guess you can. I guess I don't know.
I don't know how to.
Doesn't
do
matter.
Standard.
You know,
it doesn't
it.
Matter.
It's
look,
gone. Well,
the
guess
fact
what?
Of the matter. Fact of the matter is the Cowboys are a good team.
I can't wait to do the week 8 NFL tiers in that chart.
This is a staple now. This is literally a thing that we have to do every single. And Alex. If this was a surprise that you wanted to spring on us on this podcast,
hey guys, I got this sweet little chart for you tonight.
Guess what? You got us.
I am impressed.
The truth is, I had a little joke planned, and it was that I wasn't drinking, and then I was going to crack it, but it kind of failed. But look, that doesn't matter.
Well, my joke was this, that Alex wasn't going to be showing up today because he got so drunk, so this is a memo. I built a memoriam for him, and guess what? I totally didn't do the gag.
You missed the gag. You missed out. Yeah. And now went too long.
Yeah.
The three mistakes I made were... coming in with 7%.
Yep. Yeah, the medicine drink that you had. That shit was gross.
Bad idea in the first place, but really good.
We got some out for you just in case.
Got it right here.
We got some out for you.
So AJ was drinking these sweet.
Not sweet. They taste like cough medicine.
I wanted to show off for our guest. Okay.
Brennan Galbraith.
Which, in looking at that reaction and that, like, we get stoked. We're just three old friends.
We're just a couple guys, you know?
And we're nerds that were not born in this age. And so we're like old dudes who are coming to the young kids party trying to figure out how to do social media. And when something works for us, or like we start to see any sort of like virality,
we sink our penises in it.
Oh, it gives us all real hard boners.
When I say sink our penises in it, that's a complete. Like, I mean it. Like, our wieners, we put them into the viral video.
Wait a second. We're going to do a double dragon here.
Ready? One, two. I can't see you, so crack them if you got two of them.
Oh, I can't.
So what do we got? So what do we got next? We updated our Dak number one, greatest quarterback in the world, Prescott. Yep. Dakota Rain Prescott is number one in the NFL right now. I don't think he is. I think he's a top five right now. I do think Brady's stats are better. Let's move on.
So, Ant, this is there's some other stats here, but
holy
I think
fuck,
this
charts.
Chart.
This, at least this is a chart I can understand.
You can understand this chart. Okay, perfect. Good. I think this chart is really great because it kind of like just gives you some raw numbers.
Yeah, let's raw dog it. Let's go.
Yeah, the biggest things I think to look at here are the completion rate and the passer rating allowed.
So anyone that's listening, we're looking at a chart about our defensive players, and what I can take from it is their throw, like when they're being challenged by throwing plays, right? That's what this is. When they've been targeted by an opposing team's quarterback. So at the top of the list of this chart, this very simple chart, Trevon Diggs, he's been targeted 38 times with only 18 completions, which is only 47% success rates for quarterbacks going against them. That is fucking, that is a great, that's probably, like you said, that's probably the most telling stat right there. Right? Yeah. That's what you were kind of arguing for?
That's what I looked at right away because it's kind of easy. I don't know what A dot when targeted is, but I do know what completion rate is. So, but you look down, and I mean, shit, there's some really bad ones when we start looking at our linebackers.
Keanu Neal, every single pass has been completed against him.
It's not good. Wow. And same with Micah Parsons. I'm shocked, but 70%, nearly 70%.
You know what though?
Completion.
He's a rookie though, right? Like that's going to be his, that's going to be his biggest learning curve for the NFL. He's not going to have to learn how to run and tackle guys or sack the quarterback. It's going to be deciphering pass plays. Right.
But when I see this, the thing that comes to mind is like, okay, there are a lot of holes that quarterbacks are finding, yet we're still finding ways to win. A big part of that is being able to put up 25, 30 points a game.
You know what's even crazier? Look at Leighton Vander Esch, who's been in the league for 4 years. The completion rate against him is 85.7%. That's almost a guaranteed fucking completion. You know, throw it wherever fucking LVE is and you're going to get a completion.
And the other big one is like the passer rating allowed. So that's the quarterback passer rating.
Correct.
So you can see Trevon Diggs, 29. That's like the most shittiest passer rating ever. If I got that in a game of Madden.
When you get that in Madden.
When I get that in Madden, I instantly trade my QB. But like. Yeah, it's I think it's really it's kind of eye opening because
can you find this chart for the whole league? Like, is this chart like I'd love to see where other teams CBs rank against Diggs. To be honest,
you know what?
That could be something in the future. I'd like to see that. Like, I'd like to see where he ranks amongst the the Jalen Ramseys or whoever. Another stat I like in it is the air yards allowed. Like, he's been thrown at 38 fucking times, and they've only completed they've only got 104 yards off 38 targets.
Now,
that's insane.
That those stats include
that big one
play with
75 yard touchdown,
and that technically was not it was Trevon Diggs's man, but it technically was not Trevon Diggs's. I mean, shit.
So
you want to roll
it, this will be a good segue into that.
You're right, Anth. It is a good segue into it. Cowboys fans, are you hungry for a big win this week? Well, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. So you don't have to just bet on Cowboys. You can bet on any NFL team. And if you do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposits. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win. With promo code TPPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania. New customers only, min 5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So the safety over the top was DeMonte Casey, and he got into a little trouble on his off nights here. News coming out of Dallas, I believe it was yesterday. KZ was picked up for DWI, I believe they call it in the States. In Canada, they call it DUI, but I think down there they call it DWI. Driving while impaired, I'm assuming it's called. So what's to say? Dallas Cowboys safety DeMonte Casey was arrested early Tuesday on suspicion of driving while intoxicated in a Dallas suburb. The Colony Police Sergeant Aaron Woodard said Casey was booked on a Class B misdemeanor. Casey was released about midday after posting $2,500 bond. Woodard said. So what do you guys think? What do you think about it? Well, let's finish this. Tell what the traffic stop was.
Casey's traffic stop in the suburbs next to Frisco, the location of team headquarters about 30 miles north of Dallas. Casey failed the sobriety test and admitted to consuming alcohol during the night, according to police.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not a very... I'm sure this happens... quite often, and I would like to see what his blood alcohol level was, because that's a telling sign. Like, obviously he was driving while he was impaired. Does it say he was impaired, or would he just failed a sobriety test? You know what I mean?
Yeah, failed a field sobriety test.
So they didn't even
get him admitted to consuming. So like, look, he probably came out of it and said it's. Maybe they smell it on him. Maybe he had three drinks. Maybe he had four drinks. Who cares? Like, I don't know.
Maybe he drank a neutral seven.
Maybe he was hanging out with Bandwagon Boy 2. And
well, I was saying that, you know, he probably was. He probably could have had the biggest hit of the year.
Oh my God, he could have absolutely killed that guy,
and he fucking missed it.
And you know what? I'm never one to say take a penalty, but in that situation, they're going deep, and you're up by five or six or whatever the fuck we are up by. You don't even look at the ball. You just fucking kill the receiver.
Yeah.
You just take that hit, let them get the ball there, and take your next play.
Well, if you look at the play too, I believe the receiver was kind of up in the air too, so you could have did a nice clean body hit on that.
I don't even care. You just can't overrun your coverage.
Well, yeah,
he overran his coverage,
and not to mention that it was like. If you look at the perfect timing for what a hit, like a kill shot, it would have been the biggest.
It honestly would have been the hit of the fucking year. And I don't even know what I would have done. I would have pulsed everywhere because it would have been a kill shot. And even if it was a penalty, it would have been the right play there is to take the penalty. It really is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at the reverse. They got a touchdown.
Yeah, they scored a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
You take the penalty. They get it on maybe the 45 or 50 or whatever the fuck it would have been. You're playing the next down. Luckily, Dakota Rain said, you know what? You gave me 2 fucking minutes. You done goofed.
Yeah.
You done goofed. I'm going to march down here. I'm going to hit my boy, Seti the Entertainee. I'm going to get fucking Greg the Leg, who's missed one, but is going to come out and redeem himself. You can't leave. There's certain quarterbacks, and Dak's starting to show it. He's one of those quarterbacks you cannot leave 2 minutes.
I think it's also that edge with him cussing around the field and I love it. Yeah, I love it too. You
should have seen his pregame speech. Oh, it was fucking mint. Cowboys always play this on their YouTube. They always have the sounds of the game. Oh, Dak just fired me up. I was actually watching it while I was waiting for you to get home, Ad. And I got fired up just watching it in the fucking parking lot. It was great. It was great.
Okay, well that'll be my homework.
As long as Casey is not rolling up to his father-in-law's house and asking him to come through, I think he should be put up in the next game.
Was that a little bit of a Richard Sherman dig? That was a little bit of a Richard Sherman dig. We know Bandwagon Boy 2 hates Richard Sherman.
Yeah, and with that, we lost him there.
Did he just freeze out?
He freezed out.
That was his mic drop.
That was his mic drop. He's currently frozen. I mean, this is what happens here.
Yeah, when you're
he's back.
I should be back.
Oh my goodness.
You know what it is? It's this shoddy sabbatical internet.
Yeah, anyways. I was gonna say you look like you're held up in a room or something like that. But okay, let's keep moving. We're at the 30-minute marker. And I know we got a list of stuff that we, because I want to talk about.
Speaking of.
You know what? Fuck me, right?
No. Look, what we're doing is we're running into just a little bit of an audio
listen,
issue, but it should work itself out.
Listen, you go on what you got. You got the agenda. I'm the wild card.
Why Cedric Wilson's early season production is important for the Cowboys' present and future. I'll tell you without even reading this article. They can let Gallup go next year because they won't be able to retain Gallup. He's going to be too expensive after his rookie contract. And Cedric Wilson should be able to step into that three receiver, no problem. Guaranteed that's what this article is about.
No, and you know what? You actually...
No, he just says... Look at that. Huh? Second sentence, Michael Gallup went down in week one. I knew it was going to be about him.
Well, look, I don't read all these words. That's too complicated for me. I just look at these awesome videos. And so...
Cedric Wilson isn't just a high-flow reserve wide receiver, but he's also capable of offering up highlight plays on a weekly basis, while also capable of playing special teams. That catch was fucking money. He actually did a similar catch on, like I said, on the drive to tie the game to go into overtime. He had a very similar catch. Dak had him one-on-one on the outside, and he just he's very reliable.
He's not just quick. Like, he's got some really good quickness. I don't know enough to say that he's a good route runner, but he seems to like get.
They don't need, that's what Ant's getting at. Like, they have the route runner in Amari Cooper. They have the after ball mover in CeeDee Lamb. And then if Seti the Entertainer can take Gallup's position of being the blitzer,
he just needs to beat one. He needs to beat their third best corner on man to man.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, I mean,
he has to be better than their fucking nickel corner. That's it. And he has been. He's going to be the guy that gets the one-on-ones because Amari Cooper and CD are going to get the attention.
Well,
when it's Sed's turn, he needs to make a play because he's going to get the one-on-one looks.
The thing that I find interesting right now, and I don't know if it's Dak reading the field or if it's Kellen Moore calling the plays.
The Dungeon Master. Him by his fucking name.
So if the Dungeon Master...
That's Sir Icabus to you.
But like, if CD and if, well, when CD and when Amari Cooper are being double coved or they're
they
not...
get bracketed, right? They get bracketed by a lot of guys.
I was going to say, then he has either... Seti the Entertainer, or he has Schultzy to go to, because that's what he's been doing.
Yeah, you're right.
And then you have Jarwin, who also can play. I mean, Jarwin and fucking Schultzy, they kind of...
I love when Jarwin scores, because you know it's helping no one in fantasy football.
No one wants to pull the trigger and pick up Jarwin.
No, you can't. That's like the biggest risk. If you need a fucking tight end 1 week, maybe. But like when Jarwin scores, because there's probably people now that are picking up Wilson in deep flex leagues and starting him because he has potential to get a touchdown. But who the fuck is picking up Jarwin?
Like, no one.
You got to be hurting, right?
But so week eight. Go ahead, Alex. You finish your fucking segment.
No, hey, Adam. It's just I got really excited about these videos.
This is a great video. Yeah, no, I don't want to. Yeah, that's great.
Watch him. He moves so quickly.
He does.
Like,
yeah.
I mean.
He's long.
Yep.
He's long. And then look at this. They just totally.
Look big too.
Oh, shit.
Madden spin, bitch. Madden spin, and bitch.
And there's one final video.
Yeah, let's see it.
That,
I'm going to give you full screen on this one.
This is the one that's like, it's the similar. This was to get up to go tie the game. This was like the Giants game. This is a nice fucking grab right here. I kind of like when the sound's rocking, personally.
I do too.
Oh, can you hear that?
I love it. I like when the sound's going. It gets me back into the moment.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
So this is when it was 4th and 4. If they don't catch this, that's game. Game, set, match. If he doesn't take that in, Cowboys lose.
Like,
that's like that gives me a massive
boner.
Boner.
Can you say boner?
I'll just say boner. But that gives me a massive boner. That was a great play, and that was probably the play of the game. Change my mind. Change it.
I think he can't. I think this really like puts that he is such a good addition that it's those because we already know we have two elite 1-2 wide receivers out there right now. Gallup being injured, otherwise he can really fit in as a question
Did we lose him again?
I think we're losing him.
So I think what he's trying to say is with Gallup stepping. Oh. Is he like in the electricity right now?
We lost you.
Hang on, I'm gonna fix this.
Okay, so while you're going to,
I'll just finish what I think Alex is trying to say with our two top receivers,
yep.
And then Michael Gallup coming in as a very very good third guy. Now you bring in Cedric the Entertainer into this mix, and now you literally have four guys that. If they're on the field, who do you fucking decide to stop?
You can't. And I like, that's what I think in terms of, obviously, if we, there's a couple things, you need the quarterback like Rain Dakota Prescott or Dakota Red Prescott to be able to
RDP?
Read. The, yeah. To be able to read the situation, have the throwing power, have the on-field ability, which you're not going to get in your first few years. Like, he wouldn't have been he wouldn't be making these same calling decisions 3-4 years ago. So
you're right. No, 100%. You're right.
You got the experience, and now you have the offensive toolkit to figure out how you can get out of certain jams. What we're noticing, what I've been noticing, and what we kind of talk about on all these podcasts is he's very composed in the pocket. He hasn't been panicking. He's not scrambling when he shouldn't be. He's not making ill-timed maneuvers.
He never looks rushed.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's very like sure with what he's got, and I think it's because he knows that he can go to. It's not just if CD's covered, I'm fucked. If Gallup's not there, I'm fucked. He literally has, and I think that's probably why, you know, if Amari Cooper's job is only to make sure people are covering him to free up Gallup or Seti the Entertainer or Schultze. And we're winning the games. I'm fine with that.
Well, you talk about Cooper. Cooper's bad, and I see what Alex is Googling here, but mm-hmm. Cooper's battling a bunch of injuries right now. And speaking of injuries, after on that game-winning touchdown pass, the walk-off to CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, I loved the wave to the guy after he scored the touchdown when he was cheap-shotted.
Yeah.
But Dak Prescott did strain his right calf and was seen in a walking boot post-game. They did set an MRI for Monday, and it's looking like he should be fine to play for the against the Vikings on Halloween. That's what this is just going to say. This was right now calf on game winning play set for MRI the 18th. What's today? The 20th. Yeah. So he already got the MRI. Scroll down, Alex, so we can read the fucking article.
and block those motherfucking. Guess what? Block those motherfucking sports.
If I'm ever rambling on the sentence, just scroll down and I'll start reading something. I was just way. That's the only thing I saw there. Prescott said that he came down funny on his right calf when he threw the game-winning 35-yard touchdown pass to CeeDee Lamb. Dallas confirmed Prescott will have an MRI. We did. We saw it live, and we went fucking nuts. Dallas confirmed Prescott will have an MRI Monday, and this has already happened. He's fine. He will be playing against Minnesota on Halloween, and he will fucking take us to 6-1, bitches. Hundo P, put it in. Tell UK Steed to mark it up. Mark it up, UK Steve. Pencil it in, son.
Isn't this just doesn't solidify them or solidify the idea that this was a good week to have the bye week?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fucking couldn't have came at a better time.
Well, they don't get to choose when they get a bye week.
I know,
week,
but this
right?
was just good. I was just like, no way, Prescott said after the game, life keeps throwing punches and I'm gonna keep throwing them back. It's part of it, it's part of this game. Ooh-wee.
I mean,
she could have dropped a couple F-bombs in there. Like, life keeps fucking throwing punches. Yeah. Come on, Dackie, let's go.
First he gets mistaken for Patrick Mahomes, and now this.
Yeah. Twice. Mistaken for Patrick Mahomes twice.
Okay, so let's segue into this because we're
what MRIs?
No, yeah, let's segue into what kind of MRI.
Adam has a whole MRI
segment ready.
What's the top five MRIs of the season?
Yeah.
Let's go through what do we need to do in this off week before our next game? What are the things that we need to
get
be
healthy.
Focusing on?
Get healthy. Dak's got to get healthy. He's got to be ready to go. The bye week's used as a mini recoup, right? Like any guys that have been banged up like an Amari Cooper, they all got to get their treatment. They all got to get as healthy as they can. Because now, say we're Super Bowl contenders and we don't get a bye week, a first round bye, you're fucking now going nonstop till February, right? So they need to really take it. They need to rest up this first week and then get back to practice next week. So this week will probably be pretty light. They'll probably only do some walkthroughs, and then it's back to business next week.
What? Okay, so give me your three things that the offense needs to work on, and three things that the defense needs to work on coming into the next game, and what they should be studying in the room, or what they should be going through in some of the practices.
We're stopping the run. I still think stopping the run. Our linebackers last game they didn't look good. Micah Parsons, to me, I thought had his worst game as a pro. And yep. I mean, he's still a young player, but it just looked like our defense wasn't stopping the run very well. And I think if the Chargers would have ran against us more, they probably could have sealed the game. So mm-hmm. I'd like to see us tighten up on our run defense on D. I don't like seeing big plays. I like that big 75 yarder. I didn't like seeing that. So, but that hasn't been the norm, right? It's tough to say what a 5-1 team needs to work on.
Right.
But as just the from quick glance on defense, like I said, the run game needs to tighten up. Our special teams.
Run defense or run game?
Run defense on defense. Yep. Yeah, we need to stop the run. On special teams, the field goals, we got to stop missing fucking field goals. It'd be nice to see. I don't think we've had a single big return. Have we had a big punt return?
No.
So, and that's a huge part of the football. A punt return for a touchdown is a huge play in football. If you can get a couple of those in the year, you're winning. We haven't seen that. Our special teams has been lacking quite a bit.
How many other teams have blocked a punt this season so far?
Yeah, you're right. We did have a nice special mm-hmm. teams block here. That's a good call, Ad. That's what I mean. The special teams, when your defense is looking a little slack, you get this number 57 comes flying in and blocks the punt. That's huge.
I will say, okay, so Alex, you go, and then I'll say.
I was going to say there was one interesting stat I saw. Who was the second-year offensive lineman, Ant, that begins with a B?
Baez. The center?
Baez. So he started the season, the first three games, with something like 13 pressures.
Yep.
Bad stat for a lineman.
Yeah, and that's
last three games? Yep.
Sorry, you were cutting out, so I thought you were finished talking. I was just going to kind of build off of what you were saying about the offensive line. Our penalties mm-hmm. last game. Like, we need to fucking – just penalties in a full – I think we gave up 110 or 120 yards in penalties last game. So you need to figure that shit out.
Yeah, and what I was going to say to finish before stupid Google cut me off there is that – Beelzebub, whatever his name is.
Baez.
He
We're not even going to let you try it, because you're going to get now the way you just said it, it's going to be the way you say it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. that's his name to me now. And that means the devil. But he has zero pressures against him. So we're seeing improvement in those areas. Like, it's nice to see players improving like that. He's not the only one. That's just one example. But I think the biggest thing on both offense and defense, and offense is quite more far ahead, is maturity. And I don't mean like, I just mean there's a lot of young stars that are standing out there. And when you're young, even I don't know, make up your own tier in your head, but even a C rank player can beat an A potential rookie because they have the knowledge of the game. The tricks that these players learn just by moving up to the NFL from college can make you just so much better at your position. Not necessarily a better athlete.
A wily vet,
but
just a wily vet, right?
A wily, like these young guys learning how
to be pros.
What I'm saying is I hope that the progression continues to happen. And I think it's just a maturity thing. That's really what is the biggest detriment to the Cowboys on both sides of the ball.
Which is funny when you touched on that, because they did draft there's like 11 rookies on the team, and a good majority of them are on defense this year. So you're onto something for sure.
And our biggest playmakers, we're watching Parsons like a hawk, so maybe this is just our eyes, but certainly Diggs. He's a second year,
yep.
And you could see his progression from year one to year two.
Oh, man. There was people that didn't even think he was – people thought he was just trash.
Yeah, like EA.
Yeah, fuck EA. I don't even want to get Don't get me started. So, Ad, what do you think? Just from your eye judgment, what do you think we can build on?
Well, I definitely think that, and maybe DQ has a better reason for it, but getting Micah Parsons back as a stand-up DE, I think he's better suited in that on that line versus being in a linebacker position, at least for some of these like more intense games. I think that we have to. We have to look at the scenario of still, no matter what, if a team's going to come at our run game, we got to be able to put those reps through. Because I think, obviously, with Dakota getting slightly injured and there's this little scare, the thought of him going down in this season would be like
catastrophic.
It's literally any other player could go down.
Yeah, he can't. And when you say that, like, I mean, we could with a 5-1 lead and three games up in the division, if it was just like, you know, a game or two.
Yeah.
But we cannot fucking lose him for four games.
Yeah.
Just can't.
So the fact that we have our, I feel like our offense is more balanced at the moment.
We have one of the best offenses in the league, hands down.
Yeah.
They're so balanced. You're right. Like I don't think there's a better balanced offense in football. Maybe the Bucks are close, but our offense is just so fucking balanced.
I think if this team, if the Cowboys played the Bucks right now in like week 6, week 8, we would probably beat them.
I honestly think we could beat any team in football right now.
Yeah.
I'm riding high. Last week was some people look at it like it was one of our worst games. I think they battled adversity and came out with a W, which just builds them as a team. They're gonna get it in their head that no matter what, if they get scored on with 2 minutes left, they're still going to win.
Yeah,
I know, that's huge.
I think the biggest thing right now is that we got to stop playing to the level of the, like, we got to stop playing down to the team.
And I think you said that week 2. Well, so you've been a big supporter of that theory, and the more I watch, the more I agree. Every game's close. I mean, the Giants game was close until they lost their two best players. You know,
it's such an emotion. I've never had more of an emotional roller coaster. I get a lot of, because obviously Alex and I coming into this, we were gonna be your producers, like the Cowboys. Never hated the Cowboys like the rest of the world, but.
I saw dollar signs, baby. That's all.
the fact is that, like, people ask, oh, I didn't know you're that big of a Cowboys fan. It's like, well, listen, I didn't come into this season a big Cowboys fan, but when we've been talking about
we've
been invested in them for 8 fucking months, talking about them every fucking week. It's like, man, it's such an emotional ride with the highs and the lows. And that last game was a big problem. So we talked about it at the start of this, at the start of the live stream for the game. We have to choke these teams out.
Yep.
We have to. We can't let up. And every player, like the Alex stats. I mean, this is the only time that I was excited to see a stat. Now was the fact that some of our defensive players. It's like if that stat is for these fucking. If we can pull up those stats and see how bad some of the pass coverage is for our teams, like,
yep,
work on that shit. Work on that.
100%. Like, the 100%. Couldn't agree more.
You can't, like, look, this and Patriots game was a perfect scenario. You can't rely on one defensive player to continue to carry you week over week.
But he did, though.
He
came out and scored a touchdown with 2 minutes left. You know?
No.
Like, it was wild.
So Trayvon Diggs, being your defensive player, he has a
Aiden
big
moment. Father?
Aiden Diggs' father. You have a big momentum shift like that, or you have a big, like you just get the team momentum. The rest of the players have to step up.
Yeah, you can't give it up on the next fucking play. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I believe when after Randy Gregory sacked Lunch Mac fucking Jones, you bitch. Got a sack Lunch on Mac, Mac attack.
You little bitch.
and we got that fumble. Like, it transitioned the team.
Yep.
There wasn't a they were able to shut them down next. So it's just those things where you look at Anthony Brown, you look at KZ, and we even look at Micah Parsons. It's like, look, you guys just need to rearrange them to the depth. And that's why I said, you know, maybe Dan Quinn knows something more than us, which I'm sure he does. But it just seemed to me that we got more out of Micah Parsons on the defensive line than we are getting him in a middle linebacker position.
Well, we've talked about it countless amount of times. It's a different linebacker, playing linebacker in the NFL. You have a lot more reads and assignments than just go and get the quarterback. And maybe you're right. Maybe he is just more poised for a breakout game if he's just...
It's that raw talent. It's that raw talent that he has. And just 1 second, Micah, I still love you.
Crack him if you got him. Crack him if you got him. Crack him if you got him.
I think Micah is going to be a very solid linebacker in his career. But I think just right now in certain situations, we should toss him as a stand-up DE.
So, I think AJ, I don't know what else you have in the docket, but I think we just go out on – let's look at our schedule here. I want to see after the bye week what we got going on next few games here.
And let's talk about that Gruden-less Raiders game that your boys are going to be at.
Shit, yeah.
We're going to pull.
So, look at this. Look at this next six games. Cowboys at Vikings. I believe that's, Cowboys at Vikings.
Halloween
night. We're going to be dressed up real spooky. Broncos at Cowboys. That's a weird, oh, good. We get a day drink at 10 a.m. for two games in a row. Okay, so looking at these six games, Cowboys at Vikings, Broncos at Cowboys, Falcons at Cowboys, Cowboys at Chiefs, Raiders at Cowboys, which we will be at, son.
Bitches.
And then Cowboys at Saints. I could easily see us going... I'm going to be conservative, 4-2. I would be disappointed with anything less than 4-2 in that six game stretch.
Who are we losing against?
I could see us losing to the Chiefs, and the Broncos kind of worry me a little bit.
I'm not going to go the same negative energy that
I said I went conservative.
How I want to approach it, because I don't want to put any of like this 4-2. I do agree with you.
Broncos, not to mention, I'll be jacked up if we go 4-2, to be honest.
Broncos are going to be a tough matchup, and the Chiefs. And I do think that we're sleeping on the Falcons right now.
No, fuck them. If we don't kill the Falcons, I'll be very upset.
I don't know. So I believe
Adam's always been a Matt Ryan fan. He loves guys with two first names.
I hate Matt Ryan. But guess what? I think I'm picking him up this week.
You mean Costco dad?
Yeah. Costco dad, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, the guy that shows up to fix your printer.
Totally. Totally.
With a briefcase.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, all in all, I think I'm not as afraid of the Chiefs as I was at the start of the season, because I think that they're having a rough year.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're the same Chiefs as last year. I'm actually a little happy now that we're not going to go to the Chiefs game, because that, oh, fuck.
Burp him if you got him.
That $600 ticket to be in Chiefs country would be. But the one game I'm worried about is the Broncos, and I think the Falcons. I think we're going to have a tougher time against the Falcons than we will the Chiefs.
Really? Yeah. That's a bold prediction, and I hate that you've been so close to your bold predictions, because now it makes me a little bit worried.
Didn't say we're going to lose. I just think it's going to be a tougher game. I think it's going to be like a Pats game.
At least it's at home. Well, exactly. At least it's at home.
The two hard games that we discussed outside of the Chiefs, Broncos, Falcons, are both at home, so that gives us that edge. I'm saying 5-1.
So who are we losing to?
It could be Broncos, Chiefs, and now that Adam's fucking got my mind going, it could be Falcons.
you know what, though? The Raiders are no schlub team. The Vikings are no schlub team. Like, 4-2, I'll be happy. 4-2 puts us at fucking 9-3.
I'm just going to flat out say this. I couldn't even name one player on the Vikings right now.
Kirk Cousins. Thielen, Cook.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but you know him if you had to actually pay attention and think about it. You play enough fantasy football if you had to think about him, you'd be able to. Jefferson's, they're really good second-year player. You know, the Vikings have a great offense as long as we hope Cook's out. But we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that game next week and maybe this weekend. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get an episode going this weekend, or we're just going to take the weekend off.
Like, is it a bye week, or are we just going to give?
We just go bye week this Sunday, and then just record again next Wednesday. Like, just take it off. We got to rest up.
Yeah,
if Alex drinks like he did last game, who knows what could happen. Especially when he's out of office, you just don't know what could go down.
here's the thing: like the Cowboys, when you're kind of running on adrenaline. You're running on these like wins. We've been having some nice big wins the last little bit here. You know, thanks to all of the new subscribers to the channel. If you made it to this far in the episode, you're an OG, or you're a brand new G. But I think, you know, this weekend, I'm definitely going to use it to just get some of this set up a little bit tighter so that it's a less stressful.
Don't be bashful, Adam. You bought a new computer.
I'm not even using it for this. And just basically just wanting to make sure that when we're doing this podcast, because we do video and because we do audio, we want to make it the best experience ever. And just get our shit together, you know what I mean?
I'm having the best experience ever.
I know. Well, we,
and guess we what? Know Ben we you know Alex is having the best experience ever.
We know Alex is.
I am usually just a mountain man, so the fact that I get to come down from my troll cave.
Your slumber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just fucking get wrecked and go home and sleep for another
Well, for those so. Fucking bandwagon boys and your fucking host, Anthbest, we're going to be back next Wednesday. We're no live stream this week. We're just going to lock it down, get shit crisp, and we will be back next Wednesday. Launch on Thursday.
Holla. Holla. Big hood in the beard. Big hood in the beard. What up? How about the boys? The Dallas Cowboys, that is.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.